Heavenly Father, I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Open my lips and only your word would be spoken. Open our ears and only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. As we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would please turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. In our Red Pew Bible, this is page 1029. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Just to set the context a little bit, this is part of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, even recognized by non-Christians as one of the great teachings of all times, particularly the Beatitudes, with which Jesus began this Sermon on the Mount. But also it's important for us, I think, to realize that Matthew's Gospel is the first book of the New Testament, and it's not by accident. Matthew is very much the Jewish author, and he shows this great connection between the Old Testament and the New. And so in many ways, we continue to hear in Matthew, and according to the prophets, this happened, and according to the prophets, that happened. And so we see, no accident, as Jesus is beginning what we know as this Sermon on the Mount, here at the beginning, he talks about the law. Lest anybody would get the idea that Jesus is saying, okay, we're done with Moses and we're done with the law. He's saying the opposite of that. Let us hear the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. There is much that goes into what we would describe as the law. In respects, it refers to different things. In some respects, it refers to the first five books of the Old Testament, the law of Moses, the Pentateuch. It also includes, as Jesus said here, the law and the prophets. Major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and then there were the minor prophets as well. But basically saying the Old Testament is not done away with. In fact, I am the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Now, a big part of what happened in the Old Testament, probably by many considered the central happening of the Old Testament, was what we know of as the Exodus. Exodus means a departure, and it was the exodus of God's people, the Hebrews, their departure from slavery in Egypt. They remember from the time of Joseph, when Joseph went and was sold in slavery to Egypt, and he ended up ruling over all of the land of Egypt. And so he sent for his father Jacob, and he came down with all of the family, came down and dwelt in the land of Goshen. Well, we're told in the scriptures that after Joseph died, some period after that, Pharaoh no longer knew Joseph or the Hebrews, and so they subjected them to slavery. Now, we do know that they were in Egypt for 430 years. How much of that was in slavery, we don't know specifically, but we're talking something like 350 or so years, over 300 years that they were in slavery, calling out to God to save them. And so God raised up a servant, Moses, a prophet, and sent him to save his people from slavery in Egypt. And so God pronounced the 10 plagues to convince Pharaoh to let his people go. And what we know is the 10th plague was the worst of all, It was the death of the firstborn in every family, both man and beast. Now, to protect God's people, he told them, this is what you do. You take a lamb, a male, unblemished, you sacrifice it, you take the blood of this lamb, and you put it over your doorpost, lintel, and the posts. So when the destroying angel comes in the night, the angel will see the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, and the angel will pass over that home. And so that is what we know as the Passover. The angel of death passed over the homes of the Israelites, those that had the blood on the doorpost. Those who were not protected by the blood of the lamb, the angel of death would come in and would kill the firstborn in that home. Now, we don't exactly know the feast, the time of Exodus. It probably happened somewhere around 1400. There's both what they call an early date and a late date, depending on a number of different things. But we're talking something like 1,400 years before Jesus, 1,400 years before Jesus, something like that. The thing is that this, when it happened, God had told the Israelites and told Moses, he said, now I'm going to do this great thing, and I want you to remember this. I want you to celebrate this. I want you to teach it to your children. And I can just imagine saying, well, how many times, Lord? Do we have to do it once or twice? Well, in just chapter 12 of Exodus, God says this three different times. He says, this day shall be for you a memorial day. You shall keep it as a feast, that means a celebration, to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. What do you think forever means in Hebrew? It means forever. Forever. In the very same chapter, it goes on, and God says, I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. And then a third time, in verse 24, he says, you shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons. This is to be passed on from generation to generation forever. Ever. Do we need to clarify that? Pretty clear? Forever. Okay. Now, it's not just to remember it, but in fact, the people were told to remember it on this specific day. Moses said, you shall keep this statute at its appointed time from year to year, at the appointed time. So for God, the day was very, very important. He didn't say just sacrifice, you know, observe this anytime. He says on the day is very important. Days are important to God. Times are important to God. Seasons are important to God. And so what is that date? Because he says, remember it forever, celebrate it forever, but do it at the appointed time. Because that time, that day was very, very important. And so we want to try to look and understand what do we know about the day of Passover, particularly, what do we know about it now? Because we don't want to keep it on the wrong day. I mean, how bad would that be? We get up to see God and say, yeah, Lord, we kept your feast. He says, yeah, but you did it on the wrong day. It's like, who would want to celebrate their birthday on the wrong day, right? So we want to try to get the date right and try to understand it. And so we want to understand what we're told about that date. Now, the scriptures tell us, basically, in fact, let me go ahead and put this up on the... Basically, the date we're looking at is called 15 Nisan. In Exodus, it's called Abib, but later on, after the exile in Babylon, Nehemiah refers to it as Nisan. So it's the same day. This is, God said, this is going to be the first day of your calendar year. Okay, this is like a new beginning, okay? And it's going to be on this day, this first month of your calendar year is when you're going to celebrate this Passover. But you're not going to do it on the first day of the month. I would have thought, you know, that would be the whole beginning, you know, like the first day of the month. But it was interesting as I did the research on this, how God is so, he thinks of everything. He really does. And so why is it the 15th Nisan instead of the 1st of Nisan? Well, the thing is about the Jewish calendar and the days that they observe is that the month always begins on a new moon. A new moon is when it's dark, okay? Now what happens when a new moon, you know, they have the day of the new moon, and then you have, it starts to go day, you know, a few days, the moon starts to show up, right? And then it starts to get bigger, and it's like a birth, isn't it? It gets brighter and brighter and brighter. It's like something's being birthed. And so that's why the month starts the first day on the new moon, and then as it goes, you see it's kind of a birthing that happens, a beginning each and every month that's happening. Now we know that the cycle of the moon is how many days? 30 days. The correct answer. Okay, are everybody awake? This is not a trick question. Every 30 days, okay, we have what's called the lunar cycle of the moon. Now, if the first day of Nisan is a new moon, what is the 15th day? Is going to be what? What happens? It's going to be the middle of the cycle when the moon is full. Thank you. So the Israelites are leaving Egypt with a full moon. It's like, God, turn the lights on. Now, I have actually been in the Sinai Peninsula. One of the trips I took over to Israel, just fascinating thing, we actually took a trip to Mount Sinai, and one of the nights we camped out in the wilderness, in the desert. And it's amazing. It's like no other place. In fact, it's just a little bit crude, but I know you can handle it. We're getting ready to go out on the trip, and they give us all our ration of toilet paper. And we said, well, so the restrooms don't have toilet paper in the wilderness? And they said, there are no restrooms. There are no restrooms. There's no trees. It's sand. It's sand. So they give us a ration of toilet paper, and then, forgive me, but they also give us a box of matches. What are the matches for? Well, after you literally dig a hole if you have to go, you use a toilet paper, and then you're to burn it. So you leave no residue in the wilderness, in the desert. So we got our ration of toilet paper and our matches, and that's what we did. And I'll tell you, that night we camped out, and we're laying down. I don't think I had slept at all. Looking up, the stars are like right there. I mean, it's like you could just grab them. I mean, it's so clear. We don't understand light pollution until you've been to a place that there is none. Absolutely great. So I cannot even begin to imagine what a full moon would have been like. It would have been like almost like daytime. And this is what God provided for the people of Israel when they were coming out, and this is why it was 15 Nisan and not 1 Nisan. So a full moon is 15 Nisan. So that's our first clue. We know it's 15 Nisan that he tells us, and it was a full moon. Now the other thing we know about it, it happened in the spring. Because both Abib, that talks about the harvest, or the grain of harvest. And so this happened at a time of harvest, so it happened in the spring. Now, we also know from the sun that again, this is not a trick question, okay? The shortest day of the year is when? December 21st, that's the first day of winter, right? The longest day of the year is June 21st, which is the first day of summer, okay? So you go from the shortest day of the year to the longest day of the year. The midpoint is known as the spring equinox. You also have a fall equinox, right, when it goes the other way. So the midway point between December 21st and June 21st is called the spring equinox. So we know it's in the spring. We know it has to do with the equinox. Because that's the first time of spring, and we know it has to do with a full moon. So the first two dates that are very important to us, first of all, here's our calendar of March and April. The first thing we need to recognize here is March 21st, the spring equinox, okay? Now, Passover is going to be the first full moon after the spring equinox. Now again, because there's how many days in the lunar month? 30. The full moon could actually be, if the full moon was like the day before, it may not be for another 29 days. Okay? So it's in spring, we know when they left, and it was in a full moon, so you start with the spring equinox, and then Passover will be, when is the next full moon after that date? Okay, so that's what we put together, is the time. First, March 21st is the beginning, and then we look at the full moon. Now, I want to come back to the Jewish calendar in a minute, but first I want to talk about what happened in the Christian church. Because when the Christian church took this over and thought, yes, this is still important for us to keep because the Bible says we are to keep it forever, and we know that Jesus kept it, and so the Christian church, early Christian church, would keep it based on the date of Passover. Remember, they were Jews. They were Jews. That was what their heritage, that's what they knew. And so, for many years, what the church would do is they would say, well, we knew that Jesus had the Last Supper on the day, it was a Passover meal, and so it was 3 days after that was Resurrection Sunday. And so what they would do is they would mark Passover, and then they would say, oh, 3 days later, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Now, one thing about, we don't want to think about, but Passover can happen any day of the week. Because the full moon happens every day of the week, right? Sometimes it's on a Monday, sometimes a Tuesday. So what happens is it's not tied to a particular day of the week. Well, that caused great consternation in the early church. Because when do you think of resurrection? We think it happened on that day was Sunday, the first day of the week. Now, the thing was, the church could not come together until the year 325 because all the persecution. It wasn't until the time of Constantine in the 4th century that the church was able to come together. And so they did at a place called Nicaea. And they had the first church conference in the year 325 in Nicaea. And one thing they did, they came together with a creed, which we call the Nicene Creed. Oh, you're on. Okay, all right, you're doing good. The Nicene Creed. The other thing they did at that first council is they realized, you know, these people over here, they're celebrating Easter on this day. This group over here, so we need to come together. We need to all celebrate it at the same. So they got together, put their heads together, and said, all right, what are we going to do? Either you're going to keep the date or you're going to keep the day. And what they decided back in 325 was the day was more important than the date. So what they said from the year 325 in the Christian church now, if you want to know the date of Easter, you first go to the spring equinox, March 21st, and then you look, when does the next full moon happen? Now, it just so happens in this year of 2016, it's only 2 days later, on the 23rd. Was a full moon. Now that's why Easter is early this year. Sometimes, you know, Easter's early, sometimes it's late. It's very early because the full moon was only 2 days after the equinox. Okay, so what does that mean for us? The Christian church says, okay, spring equinox the 21st, full moon the 23rd, the Sunday following is the 27th. So when did we celebrate Easter? March 27th. Tuesday, no, Sunday. So that's what the church does. If you ever want to know, oh, you know, sometimes Easter's early, sometimes, why is that? Why can't somebody just agree? This is why. When does the first full moon happen after the spring equinox, which is March 21st? Okay, it could actually be any time from the 22nd all the way to the 25th of April. So again, this year it was very early because in 2016, the full moon happened just 2 days later. Now let's get back to the Jewish calendar. Remember, our calendar goes by the solar year. How many days in the solar year? 365 and a quarter, give or take a few minutes, right? 365 and a quarter. That's why we have months, and some of the months have 30 days, and some have 31 days, right? Because we have the 30 days, but then we need to make up those other 5 days. So that's why we have different numbers of days in our months. That's called the Gregorian calendar. Goes by the sun. Now we've got this problem, this one quarter of a day. What do we do with that? Every 4 years we have a leap year where we add a day, which is which date? February 29th, okay, because we've got to make up that one quarter of a day. So that's what's called the Gregorian calendar, and that's what we mostly use here in the West. The Jewish calendar now is different because they kept going by the lunar cycle, 30 days in a lunar month. So if you've got 30 days in a lunar month and you've got 12 months in a year, you end up with 360 days, right? 3 times 12, 360 days. And it's like, well, what do you do with those other 5 days? What we do is we have different, we add a day here and a day there, and then at the end we add a leap year. What the Jewish calendar does is basically it sticks to the lunar cycle of every 30 days, and then these 5 days start to add up, and it starts pushing the date back further and further, which means about every 6 years or so, what they do is they add an extra month. They add an extra month. So if the Jews, if you ask a Jew, how many months are there in a year? They'd say, well, it depends. And you think, oh, you're just messing with me. No, no. It depends. Some Jewish years have 13 months. Why? Because they go by 30 day, and so they have to make up that time. So now it happens just about every so often. Now the thing is, when that happens, they add it at the end of the year, towards the end, just before the last month, basically. And so they add this extra month. So every so often, it's going to throw everything further because for them, it's a time of harvest. It's important to keep it in the harvest time, which they celebrate with the harvest, which means basically April. They want it to be happening in April. So this year of leap for the Jewish calendar happens about every so often. Well, it turns out 2016 is one of those years where they had 13 months. Okay, so what does that mean for the Jewish calendar? It means when they look at the spring equinox of March 21st, that's when they would celebrate Passover on the next full moon, but they said, no, this is a leap year, we need to add a month, and so this year, 2016, Passover is April 22nd. Because that's the next full moon. See, they celebrate on a full moon. So you had the spring equinox, you had a full moon the 23rd, next one, April 22nd. So that, because this is a leap year, is the Jewish observance of. So if you ask a Jew, when is 15 Nisan this year, they will say, oh, it's April 22nd. You know how long it's been this way? About 3,000 years. Three with three zeros, 3,000 years been doing this, okay? So when God says appointed time and appointed date, it's important for us to either say, which I think is fine, as the Western Christian world did say, well, look, we're going to go by the spring equinox and the next Sunday after the full moon. Or we could say, as the Jews did, well, no, we add a month, and so it's actually April 22nd. Now, I think the reason this is important for us is because I think it's important for us to realize that first, there's another way to understand the Jewish. And also, maybe this year, you've got some Jewish friends. And you talk about, well, we already had Passover. And they say, no, we didn't. It's coming up. Okay, so this happens every so often. We've got this big spread between the Christian calendar and the Jewish calendar, particularly has it to do with Passover. Now, the thing that's important, I think, is that when the Scripture says, I want you to keep this and that day as a memorial, how often? Forever. And he means it. Whenever something is said in the Old Testament, we always need to look at, well, what did Jesus say? Did Jesus affirm this? Or did he change it? Did he modify it? Did he add on to it? What did Jesus do with this thing? Because, and it's not that it was wrong, but there are things in the Old Testament, the law of Moses, that Jesus changed, which is what drove the Pharisees and the Sadducees crazy. How can this guy be changing Scripture? Well, we believe he is God incarnate. Who's the only person who can change the Word of God is God. That's why, again, I mean, it's no secret why they crucified him, because he, in fact, was, you know, the prophets would say, thus says the Lord. And what would Jesus say? I say to you. I say to you. Oh, it made their blood boil, I have no doubt. That's why they were so anxious to put this guy to death. I say to you. And so we need to look at those things. Whenever there's something in the Old Testament, say, well, did Jesus clarify it? Did he address it? Whatever. And as we saw in our reading here, he says, I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. So in what way? Well, some of the examples are in the Old Testament. For instance, Moses told the people, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, you hit me, I hit you back with equal. You know, you kill my cow, I'm going to kill one of your cows. Eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I think it's actually a good thing, because one person said, isn't it great that God doesn't go by that? Otherwise, we'd all be blind and toothless. Right? Yeah. An eye for an eye and a tooth for... If God went by that, phew, we'd be in trouble. That's why it's called grace, okay? So Jesus says, yep, you heard it said, an eye for an eye, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Turn the cheek, basically, is what he's saying. So you're like, okay. So that was for that time. Now what happened? And the difference is that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all people. That's the difference between the Old and the New Testament. Now that the Holy Spirit is poured out on people, here's some clarifications. And one is, love your enemies. In a sense, I think it's a theory of mine. I don't think it's possible to love your enemies without the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's possible. How hard it is for some of us who have done it, I don't think it's possible. So for that command, if that had been in the Old Testament, it's like, we can't do it. Well, of course, because the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out upon all people. Maybe a few people could do it who had the Spirit on them for a particular time. But the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all people, so we have the grace of the Holy Spirit to be able to do what God commands, which is to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. So that was one example. Another example, which was huge, again, in Judaism, was the whole book of Leviticus is filled with these dietary laws. You know, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you know, fish and cloved hooks and all this stuff, and just on and on and on about, you know, boiling a mother and its milk and all that. So all those things are called on. But we're told in Mark's gospel a very specific thing. It says, and thus Jesus declared all foods clean. That's huge for a Jew to come and say, well, you know, all this other stuff you do, keeping separate pots, you know, Jesus, Messiah, said you don't need to do that anymore. For that time, yes, but not anymore. So we need to look closely at things that Jesus changed or fulfilled. Now, when we do that and we apply that to things like the Sabbath, do you know in the New Testament where Jesus said we don't have to observe the Sabbath anymore? You know where that is? If any of you can find it, please let me know. It's not in there. It's not in there. Now, did he criticize the Pharisees and Sadducees for legalizing and getting legalistic about Sabbath? Yes, he did. But he never said anywhere, no, we don't need to do this. Okay? In fact, he talked about being holy to God and having the heart right with God to keep it as a holy day. So that's a very important thing. Now, I believe actually the other thing is Jesus did with Passover. He did not do away with it. He fulfilled it. When it came time for the Passover meal, he didn't say to the disciples, yeah, we don't need to do that anymore. I'm going to be crucified tomorrow. Let's just take the night off. No. They said, where are we going to observe Passover? He says, go into town. You'll find somebody. There's a large upper room. Go and make ready. And so they went and they observed Passover the night before he died. How important is that? Pretty important. But now what did Jesus do with Passover? Instead of just the sacrifice of the lamb and the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, Jesus says, I am the Lamb of God. And it is my blood that will save you from your sins and from the slavery of sin. My blood, not just another lamb. Remember a male without blemish? Yeah. A human being without blemish. How is that possible? Only if God himself were to come and take on human flesh. That's the only way it could be possible. And so Jesus says, I am the Passover lamb. And here is my body. Take and eat. Here is my blood. Do you know, they were told, don't ever drink the blood. Why? Because the life is in the blood. And here Jesus is saying to them, here, this is my blood. Here, drink it. He blew their minds, totally. You know, this is different stuff. But this was God's fulfillment of what had happened in the Old Testament. And so I believe these things we look at with Passover is that it is important that we observe this feast. Not just because of what Jesus did, because God said even before that, that you will observe this feast for how long? Forever. For all generations. And Jesus did not change that. So I believe we as people of God need to take this very seriously. Not just the observance of it, but I think it's important even the date. Now, I think it's bad that other people... No, I think that's, again, could be legalism. But I think for us it's pretty neat that this year we're going to be having our Seder supper this coming Friday, April 22nd. The date of 15 Nisan, as prescribed by Moses and the Hebrew people. A full moon this Friday, 22nd of April, 15 Nisan, Passover. Now, I think this is really neat for other reasons as well, because I think this tells us some very, very important truths about God. The first thing I would say it tells us is, first of all, God was reconciling the world to himself long before Jesus came into the world. He was working all the way back to Adam and Eve. Remember Adam and Eve sinned? They rebelled against God. He said, I'm sorry, but you've got to get out of the garden. Got to get out of the garden. But he said, now you're on your own? No. Remember what he did? He clothed them. He clothed them. It's like, I am not forsaking you. Yes, you rebelled against me. One day I will send an offspring who will stomp on Satan's head. Until that day, I will clothe you and watch over you. And so God has been working in his people long before Jesus came into the world. I think we forget that as Christians. I think another important thing that this says to us is we are not just people of the New Testament. I think many people seem to think that. If you want to, well, we just read the New Testament. No, we are people of the whole Bible. Because the whole Bible is the whole of God's story. Beginning with Adam and Eve and going through all the prophets and going through exile and going through Exodus and all those things where God, in fact, was calling his people back to him through the prophets. And so our story is the same story as the Jews. We think, well, Exodus, that's them, right? All that stuff, and you know, no, this is our story as well. Another important thing I think this says for us is that Messiah is not just Savior for the world to come, but I think the story of Exodus reminds us that God is our Savior in this life, here and now. He will save us from the bondage of our sins here and now. He will save us from being in slavery to the things that oppress us and oppress us, even some of those things even within us. God can set us free here and now. It's not just about the life to come. And so this story of Exodus, it's our story as well. And I believe when God says, I want you to observe this because I want you to remember all that I've done for you, not just from the time of Jesus, not just the past 2,000 years, but the past 5,000 years. I want you to remember it all because if you are my people, it is your story as well. And so, you know, these people we think about in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they are our brothers. I never thought of that. Joseph, Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, they are our brothers. We share with them the common story of the salvation of the living God. And so when he says, I want you to remember this forever, we join. And we remember Passover on the appointed day as best we can. Because of God's command, I want you to remember this. Because it is a remembrance of these times that tell us that is our story. So we're not just Christians. We are Judeo-Christians. These stories are our stories. These people are our brothers and sisters. It's the same God who has been trying to tell us from the time of Adam and Eve, generation after generation, thousands of years upon thousands of years, that I am God who saves you because I am God who loves you more than you can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, may we be obedient to your statutes that we observe this day for all generations, that we teach it to our children. And Father, as we gather as this church on this coming Friday to remember and honor this date, may we always remember that you are a God who loves us, saves us, not just in the world to come, but in this world. That these stories are not just Jewish stories, they are also our stories. And so, Lord God, as we come together at this holy time on Friday to remember this 15th of Nisan, this Passover, of your saving us from the bondage of our sins, may we be grateful as we celebrate, not just as Christians, but as Jewish Christians, that all we do, Lord, would be pleasing in your sight. And so we pray in He who made this all possible, Messiah, Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.